Good morning, everyone. All right, so please open your Bibles to Acts 16, starting with verse 16. And while you're doing that, Michelle's going to come up here and she's going to help me with something. How many of you know the song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength"? All right, so we've got a few. All right. I'm not the greatest singer, that's why I play an instrument, so Michelle's going to help me. And if you all know this, please join in with us. We're going to sing the song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength."
The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yay, very good. Yes. I thought on a gloomy day like today, we definitely need to have that song ring in our minds and in our souls and our spirits and carry it with us as we go about our day and our week. All right, so that song was written in the 1970s, built based upon the passage from Nehemiah 8, verse 10. And that verse is, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And Ezra the priest had said this to the Jewish believers after a long journey from a spiritual wilderness for 70 years, and then a difficult journey from exile back to Jerusalem, where they rebuilt the walls in the city of Jerusalem. And they had gathered in celebration to hear the word of the Lord, which would have been what we consider the first five books of the Bible. And after all that they had been through and hearing the word of the Lord again in Jerusalem with the walls built, the people were so overwhelmed with joy at this moment that Ezra told them, "This joy that comes from the Lord, that is your strength." So now this sounds great because obviously one will be filled with joy at the completion of a Herculean task. But what if your day or your month or your year or your life isn't going well at all? How can we say the joy of the Lord is my strength or even think about having joy and not be a liar? How is it possible to have joy when life feels like a trial? And we're going to read about how two men of God were able to have the joy of the Lord in the midst of trial. So, with that in mind, let us read Acts 16, starting with verse 16, going to verse 34. And please stand again for the reading of God's word. One day, and this is spoken from the point of view of Luke, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them. And the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Amen. The word of the Lord. Yeah, you may sit down. So Paul and Silas were not having a good day that day. They were hated, disliked, lied about, misunderstood, beaten, and then finally put in stocks in jail. You know, and if you're not familiar, the stocks means that you are immobile, you cannot move. You are sitting in one position for hours on end, unable to do anything, and I doubt that those stocks around their feet were not too comfortable either. So it was something painful. So let's be honest. What would be your first reaction if this were to be your day, if this had happened to you? Would you be moaning, woe is me? It's like, this is not right. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to do something. My followers will attack them. You know, would there be, you know, a range of woe is me to anger and vengeance? If we were really honest, that probably would be our go-to thought. But yet, Paul and Silas, their reaction was to sing hymns and to pray instead. Now, I might be praying. It might be, "God, get me out of here." But they decided to also sing hymns at the same time. So what can we glean about from their situation to help us to have joy in the midst of trial? The first thing that we can glean from this is two things that we know about their lives, especially Paul's, and that they were believers in Christ, and they were also filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we have God's grace in our lives, the grace that saves us from our sins, the grace that fills us with his Holy Spirit, the grace that keeps us safe in his arms, when we have that kind of grace, that means we will also have his divine joy, which is nothing at all like what the world or circumstances can give us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings life and joy. And when you are filled with overflowing with God's Holy Spirit, you are filled with God's life and his joy. And I'll say that again, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are filled with God's life and his joy. The more that we cultivate our relationship with God through prayer, daily Bible reading, and fellowship with other believers, the more that the fruit of the Spirit, especially that of joy, can grow within us. During hard times, you and others around you can see divine joy coming out of you because you will be able to rely upon God. You will have a chance to grow in your dependence upon God so that you can show more of that joy to people around you. You know, when we don't, you know, when everything is going our way, we tend not to rely fully upon God and the Holy Spirit. But when we are going through trials and tribulations, that's when we have to dig a little deeper in our walk with God. And then that's when God's divine joy really shines in our lives to the people around us. Secondly, In the midst of trials, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns to God. They chose to do that. They did this as a way to show God that they had confidence in him and trusted that he would rescue them from injustice and from jail. God's response to their songs and prayers was to send an earthquake to set them free. The earthquake did not just happen. It happened in response to Paul and Silas choosing to pray and choosing to praise God in the midst of trials. So what did they do in the midst of trial? They prayed and they gave praise to God. They chose to do that. It was not out of their emotions. It was out of their choice to do that, an act of their will. We will, in the midst of this terrible time, pray and sing hymns to God. And in response to this, God rescued them. He sent an earthquake. Now, by praising God in the midst of trials, I don't mean be fake or be inauthentic. You know, if you're having a rotten day, I believe that it's okay and important to be honest with God and say, I'm having a rotten day. I feel horrible in this situation. I don't like how this other person treated me. But that doesn't mean that you wallow in that. You still find some way to praise God in the midst of the situation. And the way that you do that is you concentrate, you focus upon the unchangeableness of God. I mean, God is still more powerful than the people who are giving us a hard time. God is more powerful than the circumstances around us. You concentrate on that. You say, okay, God, I know I'm having a rotten day here, but I also know that you are powerful. You are holy. You are the God of all love. The Bible verse that was posted up here, no matter what, nothing can take us away from the love of God, from Romans. You know, you concentrate on and you repeat back to God the things that you know are his wonderful qualities, characteristics. God is all love. And you can just focus on those things in the midst of your trial. You're not ignoring your problems, and you're not stuffing your pain, but you are focusing on the one that you know will take you, carry you through this. And you focus on that instead of focusing and dwelling and carrying on over and over again about how miserable you are. And that is how you lift your spirits. That's how you have God's divine joy without being fake or inauthentic. So here's the main point. When we focus on the negative, our circumstances remain negative, and it is harder for the Holy Spirit to move in our situation. But when we focus on the Lord and his promises to us, his unchanging characteristics, we and our circumstances change for the better. The example with Paul and Silas is a great example. Through their focus on God, through prayer and praise, they helped to create a powerful spiritual atmosphere around them in which God can move in a powerful way. And as a result of God being able to move freely in their situation due to prayer and praise, the other prisoners, the jailer and his family, were all impacted in a positive way for the kingdom of God. You know, if Paul and Silas had wallowed in their misery and complained on and on and on, the other prisoners and the jailer would have been impacted, but for the negative. It would have not lifted their spirits up, and it certainly would not have introduced the others into the kingdom of God. So our praise of God changes the atmosphere around us. The more that we praise God, the more joy we have, and the more that the Lord can work in our situation. Unlike happiness, which needs a good situation in order to exist, true joy only requires the Lord being in our lives and with an attitude of praise. Some examples from my life. A few weekends ago, I drove 22 hours round trip to the state of Indiana and around the state of Indiana. And about 20 of those hours, I spent my time praying and declaring and praising God for his promises regarding four situations that had me deeply concerned and troubled. And it took a while, But finally, towards the end of this trip, I felt like God was able to break through, and definitely in two of those situations, and I felt God's peace and joy flood my soul. And so that the last few hours, I was just flying home because the joy of the Lord had filled my soul, because I had praised God and reminded him of his promises regarding those two particular situations. And then, as most of you know, the month of November and all of this year, but definitely month of November, I was the only one taking care of my second parents. My father or my mother was in the hospital for 10 days, and so I took care of my father by myself. And then my mother came home from the hospital. She had a long period of recovery, so I was taking care of both of them by myself for a month. And definitely the temptation to have a woe is me mentality was pretty strong, but I decided to do what I am telling you now, and that is I just kept declaring God's promises about my parents' future over them. I kept declaring God's promises for me. I kept declaring God's goodness in the situation. I kept declaring God's promises from the Bible. I only allowed myself to listen to uplifting Christian programming, only allowed myself to listen to Christian music. I had to create an atmosphere of joy in that home that was so stressful to me. And so even though I was exhausted, physically exhausted, I was able to get through it with a good attitude and a lot of peace, so that the aides and other workers came to the house, they could see my witness and my testimony, and also that of my parents, that this is a Christian house where people are uplifted, and while people are stressed, there still is joy in the house. And so my parents and I, we are taking this opportunity to pray for some of our aides and the other workers in the house and witness to them. And so we can try to make an impact, a positive impact for the kingdom of God to the people who are in our house, instead of wallowing in our misery. So how can we praise God and have more joy in the midst of trials? Well, the first one is you just have to choose to declare God's promises. You have to make it a choice. Some people are naturally positive, while others are naturally negative. If you're naturally negative, you will have to retrain your brain to choose to be positive, to choose to declare God's promises. The second one is read and memorize portions of scripture, such as the Psalms, that declare God's goodness. Play music that lifts your spirit, either from a CD, radio, or YouTube, or, like myself, if you can play an instrument, play hymns and spiritual songs. And then sing his praises. You don't have to sing on key. I don't sing on key. I've been told I travel through different keys when I sing one song. But you don't have to worry about sounding professional. You just have to sing. Sing either a song you know or create a song. And then declare out loud his promises and his characteristics. Like, you are holy, you are loving, you are full of grace and mercy. Repeat this all day long and throughout the day. And then you will discover that you have joy in the midst of that trial. So by being people of prayer and praise, especially in the midst of trial, we can be shining lights to the world around us, especially for those people who are looking for joy in the midst of tinsel and shopping trips. I'm convinced that's why people put Christmas decorations up in September and why people massively go on shopping trips. They know that they need joy in their lives and know that Christmas is connected to joy. So while they're looking for Jesus and his joy, they get sidetracked and they put Christmas decorations up in September because they don't know that they can have everlasting joy with a relationship with Jesus. It's up to us to have that kind of spiritual walk so that, and then tell others, I have joy and this is how I found joy. regardless of if you have Christmas decorations up or if you have purchased a lot of presents. So, amen. And I left Pastor Tony a few moments.
Amen. I don't look at that anyways. Don't worry about it. If you looked at the Christmas story in Luke, here's where I want to start this. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those who have God's favor." I don't know about you, but I want that kind of joy. Say amen to that. I mean, Susan and I purposely did not share our notes to what was going to be said, because I wanted it to be the Lord, and there is a fiber and a netting that is bringing this together. But I don't know about you, but I want that kind of joy. I want to, inside of me, when I think of the joy of the Lord, my spirit just jumps. As we had the worship this morning, my spirit was energized as the thought of God wanting to come and save me, to want to be a part of my life, to want to give me joy, to empower me to live in this world, gives me joy. And then I stop and I think about it, those shepherds that were seen and watching the amazing birth of our Savior foretold, and they responded. They said, "Let's go see this thing." And Mary is quoted as treasuring up these things in her heart. And I want that kind of joy. No, actually, I need that kind of joy to be in my life. And if I gave a definition of the joy of the Lord, it would be this way. The joy of the Lord is gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, having God abiding in us, and being filled with the Spirit. We're right on track, and as we looked at these things, and you know, when Jesus was born and the angels pronounced this proclamation of joy, good tidings, and a chance to know the Savior, the scripture tells us that even Mary's baby leaped in the womb at the name of Jesus being born. And that excites me. That energizes me, and that causes me to be thankful. And I and Susan shared some personal thoughts of joy and how it's being chosen. And I thought of, you know, December 13th, 1997. That seems like a long time ago, but it's just the other day to me. My father-in-law passed away, and it was just before Christmas, and we were wondering how that would affect our Christmases to come, and it was a time that everybody pulled together. It was a time that we were sorrowful that my father-in-law had passed away, but everyone seemed to come together, and it was not focused so much on presents, but being with each other and helping each other, and Christmas became a little bit more about Jesus. And it was the gift that keeps on giving. And my thought when I see this, and I think that joy and Christmas ought to be a time of rejoicing. And again, you're choosing joy. You're choosing to allow God to do some amazing things. Joy is part of the Spirit of God, along with love and joy and peace and all these things wrapped up together. God wants to have us and experience joy unspeakable and full of His glory, and allowing us to be His disciples, allowing us to just receive something that money can't buy. And the joy of the Lord ought to be a distinguishing mark of a believer. Can you say amen to that? They should be able to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. There should be something different. And you know, how do we keep that from being stolen from us? Well, we don't let the devil steal it anymore. We just decide and ask for God's help. We're not going to let the devil steal our joy, no matter what we're going through, no matter what heartache we're going through, and we're going to hold to the promises, and we're going to allow Christ to abide in us and fill us and to accomplish all that he wants to accomplish. And we're going to be determined that we're going to, let's go see this great thing that God did. Let's go investigate it ourselves. And when it's said there, I see it as an invitation, not only to the shepherds, but to each one of us to go and seek God out in our lives, even in a society that is trying to say no room for Jesus. In every avenue, there's no room for Jesus, but in a believer's life, not only do we make room, but we should be seeking it. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." That brings me joy. That tells me no matter what I'm going through at the moment, that it's only temporary. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, you know, that joy would be set before us. So how do we find it? And I realize, how do we find it? Simple ways. Won't spend much time. Choose joy. Choose it. You have to choose it. The Lord tells us that we have to choose it and desire it, and that there's an abundance and it's overflowing if we would just choose it. Second thing is that joy can't be taken if we don't give it up. You say amen to that? It can't be taken. God's promise is saying the joy of the Lord can't be taken unless we give it up. So decide this morning that you're not going to give it up. You may feel empty, but we don't go by feelings. You may feel like it's been snatched, but it hasn't. As believers, rely on the presence of God to minister to us. I have told you this. This is the words of Jesus. I have told you this so that my joy may be full in your life. Third thing, we need to stop whining and grab on to what God has given us and desire it with all our heart. Just like salvation, joy is free. Out of the most severe trial and out of an overwhelming heart of joy, God can bring victory. God can bring us to where we need to be and have us accomplish all that we need to accomplish in spite of our suffering. In spite of our trials, he tells us still that we need to be imitators of him, and that the message of joy should still be spread. His word tells us, be joyful always. What do you need this morning? What is it going to take for us to have joy restored in our lives? I would suggest to you, and I have nobody in mind, maybe we need to stop complaining and do more grabbing of the joy that God wants to give us. And seek his face and allow him to do the things that is needing. Perhaps today would be a good day to reflect on who's in charge of your life. Is it the Lord? Then I would suggest you be seeking more of the joy of the Lord so that in your life you can experience what God wants you to find. When we try to find joy outside of God, it's going to be temporary and it's usually going to bring disappointment at some point. But if you're desiring and wanting to experience God's love and joy and peace, it can't be taken, and it will last forever. Amen? Father, I come this morning, And the whole service this morning has pointed us to you, has caused us, Lord God, to desire your joy above all the joys and the temporary things that we can have here on earth. And once we would experience your joy, we will find that we will experience joy in a better way, even in the things that you give us here on earth. May we take this Christmas season not wanting to be distracted by all the things that are going on, but diligently with a heart of worship, with a heart of seeking your face, with a heart of wanting to please you, may we abide in your joy. May we seek it with all our hearts, and your word tells us and promises us that we can experience it, we can have it, and your word even tells us that because you dwell within us, that we can share the joy of Christ. May you accomplish all of these things in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen.